Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
Today's going to be a great podcast. I have an author. He's a founder of the company Leverage. He wrote the book, Come Up for Air, How Teams Can Leverage Systems and Tools to Stop Drowning at Work. I have Nick Sonnenberg with me here today. Nick, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Great to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Okay. I like having you because we're in the early part of 2023, and you may listen to this in 2026, but that's where we're at right now. And I'm an efficiency guy. I'm a fanatic. I would systematize. My family would say I systematize my bowel movements. Because what makes McDonald's is systems.
Yep.
There's nothing McDonald's. Think about this. We're getting ready to jump in this interview, but I'm going to kind of preface this with systems. Is there anything that McDonald's sells that's better than its competition? You could argue their fries are pretty decent, but they're pretty darn salty. I'm not sure if they're better than Wendy's fries. They're average. I would say their burger is probably the fourth best of all the groups. If you took a quarter pound, I don't think it's better than Wendy's. I don't think it's better than Hardee's. I don't think it's better than Burger King. I don't think it's better than Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. You know where I'm going with this, but why does it happen to be the number one largest restaurant in the world? They mastered systems before anybody even thought of it. So with that, I got Nick with me here. Nick, tell me about your book.
Well, thank you again for having me. And actually, before I even start talking about the book, I just got back from Colombia yesterday for New Year's. And what I was thinking about something very similar to what you just brought up, which is why I want to talk about this for a second. In Colombia, it's a third world country. And I was thinking to myself, what makes this third world versus, you know, being in the US? And it was a fantastic place, don't get me wrong. But their processes just in restaurants and stores were so broken. Going through immigration through the airport, it was just so broken. Their processes were so broken. And it was just so obvious where those gaps were. And I think that a huge part of what separates a first versus a third world country is lack of process.
There's a question. And we discovered this, you know, I own a company and I have to, occasionally I will buy some electrical items. My house has like 122 recessed lights in it. It's a big house. Uh-huh. Okay. And you still got to do certain things. And right down from my office, there's an electrical store. So I go in there and I'll buy a case of recessed lights every year. And I'm kidding you, I'm going back into the 80s every time. They get out the carbon copy credit card machine where they got to run it across and you hear it go back and forth, right? And then they bring me a handwritten invoice of everything I bought. You can see the carbon. You know, he bought one case of this and he writes out the model number. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I've been watching this for 14 straight years. And every time I leave, I'm like, okay, there's got to be a better way, guys.
Totally. Well, with that being said, as you mentioned, I have a book coming out, Come Up for Air, subtitle, How Your Teams Can Leverage Systems and Tools to Stop Drowning in Work. And I wrote this book, ultimately, I wrote it to help myself and my team stop drowning in work. But ultimately, I wrote it because I want to help as many people. My goal in life is to save as many hours. I want to save millions of hours of employees' time, of managers' time, of leaders' time across the world. When I'm gone, that's what I want to be known for. The guy that saved millions and millions and millions of hours of just pure waste and inefficiency. And if I back up for a minute, the genesis of the book really started about 5 years ago. I was having coffee with now my ex-business partner. And I get that tap on the shoulder that maybe many of you listening have had. And he doesn't give me 2 weeks notice or 2 days notice. He literally gives me 2 minutes notice that he's leaving. And so I'm sitting there, I'm having this coffee and I'm just sweating. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like we could probably just go bankrupt from this. And I'm just in shock, you know, and what you have to understand, and I'm sure though you listening right now have also been in the situation where a critical person leaves that you weren't expecting. A lot of the time it could be a business partner. And in my case, he was the face of the business. So clients, team members, they all knew him. Literally, he was the front of the office. I was the back of the office person. So I was interested in all the behind the scenes systems and stuff, but he was the one really driving the marketing and managing the team. And if you would have asked me, you know, 5 years ago, would I be here today with a book through HarperCollins or on this podcast tour, I would have said, you know, probably a low chance, because when he left, it was really bad. You know, we had, it's never easy to lose someone, but to the outside world at that point, we were a massive success, Sean. You know, we had grown to 150 team members. In the first year, we got to 7 figures of revenue. We were growing 20% new customers a month, but all that's the, you know, the good part. You know, really the real part back then was we were growing 20%, but we were losing 15%. So net, it was only 5%. So it was good marketing masking a broken product. And the product and service back then was we were a virtual assistant company. So we were doing tasks like booking flights and other things that were virtual assistant work. So it's always been, my passion's always been about saving time, but it started off saving time in that way. And so when he left, the 20% went to zero, and all of a sudden, you know, we've got 15% a month churn, a team and clients that don't know me, $750,000 worth of debt. I had to cash out a 401k. My dad had to take a second mortgage on a house to help us make a payroll. So on and so forth. You get the point. It was not an
if it easy makes time. You feel better, thankfully, I've been there.
Yeah.
I had one of those January 2nd ones where a partner walks in and gets this January 1st epiphany and lays the bomb after being a partner for 8 years. We're going to go back to your story. But when you were saying that, I could feel the sickness. I could see it in your face, because I was reliving that.
But, you know, I think that sometimes there's silver linings in all these things. And the silver lining was it forced me. I had to make a decision, right? I'm sitting there. I get the 2 minutes notice. And I've got to make a decision, right? There's a lot broken with this company. There's a lot of complexity. Complexity scales exponentially with team size. And we'll get to that later in this talk. But a big mistake people make, and we fell into this trap too, is there's two ways to get to create more bandwidth. Well, three ways. Two ways are bad. To get more bandwidth, you hire more people. Usually that's the worst. It's the most expensive way. You've got to pay a payroll. You've got to onboard, train, recruit. And then if you do get that right person, which isn't easy, it still adds exponential complexity to your organization. Every node that you add in is exponentially complex. The second way to get bandwidth, which also isn't great, is you just have people work longer hours and harder, right? Like you need more capacity, well, increase your plate. The third way, which is the way that I prefer to do it, is you get people more efficient, right? And in my experience, it's so easy to save people on average, we're saving people a full business day a week, right? Sometimes up to 40% more productivity per employee in a company by following the framework I lay out in my book. So there's kind of three ways to increase your capacity. I prefer getting people more efficient. You'll have a better culture. You'll have higher retention, so on and so you'll have higher profit margins, so on and so forth. Circling back. So I had a choice. I could bankrupt the company or, you know, try to figure out how to renavigate the ship. And I decided, look, I could see what we needed to clean up and I could see it wasn't going to be easy. I totally underestimated how hard it was going to be to clean up the cluster. But I ultimately decided I'm going to stick around. I'm going to honor the commitments we made to clients. And I had this vision of where we were going to go. And so working like, you know, 16 plus hour days for a long time, ultimately I started aligning on principles of how we needed to operate to renavigate this ship, right? And I started noticing there's these three buckets that we were really needing to focus on. Those three buckets are communication, you know, with 150 people and really no org chart, communication can get unwieldy. So we needed to communicate efficiently, both with clients, external communication, and internally with team members, internal communication. We then needed to plan better. We needed to organize tasks and projects. I needed to be able to know, hey, what did I ask Sean to do this week? Did he get that done? Or hey, what's the status of that project? Where are we at there, right? Most people are solving that over text message or email, and they can't in one click get the answer that they need, right? So I knew that we needed to focus on fixing how we planned. So that's the P. So you got communication C, you got planning is P, and then you got resources. You've got your SOPs, your processes, your intellectual property. Ultimately, we were really good at that, which is why we didn't go bankrupt when all hell broke loose. But you've got your knowledge there. So my framework and come up for air is communicate, plan, resource. So CPR is the framework laid out in the book. And if I had to summarize, and there's different tools on the market now that help you solve each of these buckets. But in the short time we have, I want to leave your audience with just some core principles. And if they want to get more information, you know, we can leave them with where to go for that. But there's different tools for each of these buckets, right? You've got email for external communication. You've got tools like Slack and Microsoft Teams for internal communication. For planning, you've got tools like Asana, Trello, Monday, Reich, so on and so forth. For your knowledge management, you've got Guru and Coda and Notion. And for process documentation, you've got tools like ProcessGrid. So there's a whole bunch of different tools, and that might sound really overwhelming. You don't need to roll all of these out at the same time, but each tool is built to solve its own purpose. And a big problem that I see, we made this mistake, and I've seen now literally thousands of teams and organizations make this mistake because my company, Leverage, we do consulting and training for businesses on this stuff. So I've seen from a seven-figure financial advisory firm all the way up to a Fortune 10 company. The interesting thing, Sean, is it doesn't matter your size or your industry, everyone has the same problems. And it was really mind-blowing to me that it didn't matter. You could be a pet hospital, you could be a condom company. Literally, you need those
and
three.
And that
buckets.
Is a diverse group right there.
Oh yeah, I've done poop sprays, we've done condom companies, we've done massive tech companies. Everyone needs to communicate, plan, and resource. Everyone has this scavenger hunt of a mess where there's no alignment of where information should go. You know, was that, where did Sean tell me that? Was that in a text message, a group text, an email, a Slack message? There's a lack of alignment. And the most important thing, Sean, is not what tool you use. Is Asana better than Monday? But people need to understand the purpose. Why do we even use this tool? What situation should we use this tool? And that's one of the key things that my book lays out, is aligning teams on the purpose of each of the different types of tools on the market that you need to use. A mindset shift that I lay out in the book, which is probably the underlying mindset shift, is people, when they're out of bandwidth, they optimize to transfer information as fast as possible, right? Like, you're already working 12 hours a day. How do I just play hot potato and get this off my plate? But when everyone's playing hot potato and everyone's just trying to get stuff off their plate quickly, you know, nothing's really quicker than text. So when like people are texting or just like writing a quick email and not putting things where it belongs, it creates this scavenger hunt. And so the mindset shift that I'm wanting people to make, and is the underlying mindset of the book, is to shift your mindset from optimizing to transfer information to optimizing to retrieve information, which means you align as a team to take pause and you put things in the bucket that it belongs. When you do your laundry, the fastest way to be finished with laundry is you could take all of your stuff out of the dryer and throw it all in one drawer. But you don't do that, right? At least I hope you don't. Yeah. You put your socks in one drawer, your underwear in another drawer, your shirts in another drawer. And you do that because tomorrow when you have to pick out an outfit, it's faster. And so, I mean, I could go on for hours on this stuff, but that's the underlying principle laid out in this book. And it ultimately saves a full business day a week per employee when you align on this stuff.
I completely agree on the fact that I'm a systematized guy, but organizationally, because I've done this where, you know, where I'm going through an email and then I got to type in their name and I'm like, okay, what was the conversation? So I got to try to find like some keyword, you know, if you're lucky enough. And I'm like, why didn't I just create a folder for all correspondence with this person? Why didn't I, in subject lines, always put, you know, this is like a little thing. I mean, this is like what you're talking about at the 1% level. But I'm like, if I did this with every single critical communication that I have, because there's certain communication that's going to only come to me. And then I always have to retrieve it. Always. Yeah.
And it's all about retrieval. Yeah. So It's you take pause, you spend an extra 2 seconds in the moment to put it in a sauna in the project it belongs. Sure, that's not as quick as me texting you that. It did take an extra click or two. But again, the name of the game is retrieval. You want to be in the retrieval game as a team, and that's how you're going to win the game. You take the extra 2 seconds here and there to save the 20 minutes on the back end, and that's really the secret sauce. And I show you in the book how to get there for saving exponential time as a team.
Well, I think my audience is going to love that. Again, I have Nick Sonnenberg with me here today. He's the founder of the company Leverage. The book is called Come Up for Air, How Teams Can Leverage Systems and Tools to Stop Drowning at Work. I would encourage you to entrepreneurs, shame on you if you don't have a book like this, if you're at least not reading it, because there's no way you're running as efficient as you'd like to be. I think I'm a fairly organized person, and I took front and back notes while he was talking. So again, Nick, thank you for being on the podcast. Tell my audience how they connect with you, get your book and all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, look, we're all getting more efficient. There's no such thing as being too efficient, right? We're constantly reevaluating and tweaking. So there's always a better way. I can guarantee that you'll get quite a few nuggets that will make it well worth your time. So if you go to comeupforair.com, you can find a bunch of free resources on that, because the book is already a really dense, meaty book, but we have additional bonus content that couldn't make it into the book. So if you go to comeupforair.com, you can get some free bonus content there. You could buy the book from there too. It's on all the platforms. We have some special offers on there if you click around. And if you need additional help on the training and consulting side, my company Leverage, which is getleverage.com. That's what we're here to help you with there too. So getleverage.com, comeupforair.com are the two places you can go to find help.
We'll have all that in the show notes. Thank you, Nick, so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Audience, thank you for continuing to listen. We continue to grow. It's because you tell 5 people every week. I tell you to tell 5, hoping maybe you'll tell 4, maybe 3, maybe 7, but continue to tell others about the podcast. It gives you the most in the least amount of time. Thank you for listening. We're going to talk again soon. The podcast is brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. You need more leads. You need more sales. You just don't understand marketing. Get one of the free analysis. Thank you.